Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13. While you're turning there, a couple funnies, a couple thoughts for you this morning. Why do bicycles fall over? Because they're too tired. Too tired, Brother Hartley. What did the lawyer name his daughter? Sue, of course. Amen. So this morning I want us to talk about no fear in the new year. Good riddance 2020. Amen. It is a new year. What a year 2020 has been. But this morning I want us to look ahead at 2021 and how we can go into 2021 with no fear. Sounds great, doesn't it? But there's a problem. We have an innate fear of the unknown. Many of us just flat fear the future, period. They dread the future. That's because none of us know what this new year will bring, do we? Certainly at the end of 2019, when we were coming into 2020, no one could have imagined what we experienced in 2020, could we? And we certainly don't know what's coming in the new year in 2021. An old weathered ship was in the middle of a raging stormy sea. The crew feared for their lives. One of the crew members went to the captain and he asked, "Are we going to be okay?" The captain said, "Let me put it to you this way. The boilers are stretched to their limits and I'm hoping they don't explode. This old ship has been battered out here and we're taking on water. So to sum things up, we may go up or we may go down, but one thing's for sure, we are going on." And that's the same exact thing that we see as we face this new year, don't we? Jesus may come and we may go up. Trials and tribulations and heartaches may hit us hard and knock us down, but one thing's for certain, we are going on into this new year. Amen? We are going on. We're facing a brand new year, and we don't know what it's going to bring. One thing we know for sure, God does not want us to fear this new year. Amen? God doesn't just recommend that we not be afraid, that we not fear, but God actually commanded us, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Fear not." God said that over 300 times in His Word to us. Do not fear. Be not afraid. The same thing. God commands us, do not fear. This morning, I want us to pick up in Hebrews chapter 13. Skip down to verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. For what can man do to me?'" So I want us to take our time this morning and I want us to look at how we can get rid of that fear in the new year. And the first thing that we see in our scripture is that we have the promise of God's provision. Bottom line, God will provide. Amen? Verse 5, he said, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Too often, we fear that our needs won't be met, don't we? You know, at the end of the money, when we have too much month left, we fear that our needs aren't going to be met, don't we? We think about that all the time, especially men, I think, probably stress out more over that, being the breadwinner, if they have a family to provide for. We think that our needs are not going to be met. And that leads us to be filled with discontent. Discontent is a state of mind that just cultivates fear. Amen? The key to content, the key to being content, is being grateful for what we have. Amen? It's not wanting and longing for what we don't have. It's not having what we want. It's simply wanting and being content and being satisfied with what we do have. That's true contentment. Bible says here, be content with such things as you have. There was a humble man who only had $20 in his bank account. And he was at a function where he came across the company of multi-millionaires. He looked over at one of the millionaires and he said, "Sir, I am far richer than you are." The multi-millionaire looked the man up and down, saw the clothes that he was wearing. He said, "How can you figure that?" The man replied, "Because I have everything that I want, and you don't." So true. Contentment, being satisfied, being happy, being content with what we have. We think of Christ himself. Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And he himself didn't even own a home. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You know, we often think, and we hear it on the news all the time, that, you know, having a house is a requirement. The King of Kings. Jesus, when he left heaven, he left all of his glory behind. When he came to earth, he didn't even own a home of his own. He was buried in a borrowed grave. Two teardrops just happened to cross paths. The one teardrop said to the other, "Who are you?" The teardrop replied, "I'm the tear of a girl who loved a man and lost him." Then she looked at the other teardrop, "Who are you?" And that teardrop said, "I am the tear of a girl who found him and married him." So we need to be content. We need to be thankful for what we have. Amen. Today, in our nation, we have been so blessed that we confuse luxuries with necessities, don't we? We've been far blessed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 6. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." All of the material things of this world put together, piled on top of each other, can never meet the deepest needs of your heart. Plain and simple. God created us much bigger than this world and its things. Amen? We need to understand that. We are created in the image of God. We are created much bigger than this world and the things that are in it. Ecclesiastes 5:10. "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase." He who loves silver will never be satisfied with silver. What God is telling us here, the more that we want, the more that we get, the more we're going to be unhappy. We want something, then we get it, and guess what? We still have that void. So we go after and we try to get something else to replace it. Silver and gold will not meet our heart's greatest desire. The things in this world can never meet the desires of our heart, plain and simple. Trying to satisfy those desires with material things, it's like shoveling fog. Not going to get anywhere, are you? Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." We need to think about that. I want you to let this sink deep into your heart. God is both the source and the secret to true contentment. Amen? We need to understand that. We need to let that sink deep down inside of our hearts. God is the source and the secret of true contentment. We see that in verse 5. "Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Our true contentment, true joy, can only be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 37:4. Now this is probably one of the most misinterpreted pieces of scripture in all of the Bible. Listen to what it says. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Now I've seen and I've heard many people misquote that verse for material gain. Amen? We need to understand exactly what this verse is saying. This verse isn't saying that if we obey God and if we are faithful, that God is going to bless us with a mansion, a Mercedes, and all these different material things. That is not what this verse is telling us. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's number one. That's the first requirement. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he shall give you the desires of your heart. What is the true desire of our heart? The Lord himself. Amen? That's the key to understanding this. The Lord himself is that true desire. We were created with a void in our heart. We were created with a void in our very being that only he himself can fill. God himself, our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the desire of every single person's heart. Whether they know it or not, they're going to search this world from end to end, and they're going to be left empty. And they're going to still have that void in their heart, because that void can only be filled with Jesus Christ himself. How much God you have is based on how much you want. Amen? How much God we have, I don't know how much you have, but you have exactly how much you want. Plain and simple. Delight yourself in him, and he will fill that void inside of you, inside your heart. Plain and simple. There is no doubt that the things in our life will absolutely change. You know, I mentioned 2019 going into 2020. No one saw this coming. Amen? But there are things in our life that will absolutely change. Our children will grow up and they're going to move on with their own lives. Wealth may come, and it certainly goes. Someone once said that money talks. It sure does. It tells me goodbye all the time. Amen. We may lose our job, may even lose our home. Over time, we're absolutely going to lose our physical health and our strength. Things will change. But there is one thing for sure. God will never. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The key to a new year without fear is contentment. Being content. It's the contentment of knowing that God will provide. He may not provide everything that we want, but He will provide everything that we absolutely need. Amen? God will provide. He's going to take care of us. Philippians chapter 4. Starting at verse 11. Apostle Paul, I want you to put this into context to the verses we're about ready to read here. Philippians, the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote when he was imprisoned. He was shackled in a dark, damp, dirty prison when he wrote these words. Listen to what he said. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, this is a man who's in prison right now. He's telling us no matter where he is, no matter what state he is content, including being imprisoned. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul summed that up, that last verse, that very well known verse that we all understand, we hear, a lot of us have it on our refrigerator, on our wall. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bottom line, Paul was saying, I am content in Jesus Christ. Why? Because He will provide. No matter where I'm at, no matter what my need is, He will provide. If you have Jesus Christ, you have more than you can fathom, more than you can imagine. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. Amen? Plain and simple. So that's the first thing we need to understand. That's the first key to going into this new year without fear. Number two. Not only do we have the promise of His provision that God will provide, we have the promise of His presence. So not only do we fear the unknown, but we also fear being lonely. Jesus promised, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is His promise to every single believer. And I believe that has to be one of the most encouraging verses in all of Scripture. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a great promise. We fear being left alone, being forsaken. We fear that our friends or our family will forsake us and leave us all alone. A lack of love, lack of companionship brings about depression, and depression brings fear. Even psychiatrists have concluded that our greatest human need is not material things. Our greatest need is to love and to be loved. Amen? Plain and simple. And God has promised that He will never leave us nor ever forsake us. Let me share something pretty neat with you this morning about that verse. In the original Greek, where Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You need to remember, the Old Testament was originally written in Greek. And in the original Greek, that verse has five negatives in it. So this is what it originally says. This is the literal translation of what Jesus was telling us here. Jesus said, I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave you nor forsake you. You think He meant that? He said, I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave you nor forsake you. This is God speaking directly to us. We need to understand that. This is the promise of His presence forever and ever with us. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful promise? God's presence will see us through every trial, every tribulation, every single heartache. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be hospitals. There's going to be funerals. We're going to have all those things. And when we're all alone, His presence will bring us joy and cheer. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are the pleasures evermore. No matter the need, His presence will get us through. Amen. Third thing that we need to see here. We also have the promise of His promise. Amen. Verse 5. Look at that verse real close once again. It says, "For He Himself has said." Do you understand the magnitude of that simple phrase? That He Himself has said. God Himself, Almighty God Himself has said. This is the Word of God. That is His promise to each and every one of us. What does that mean? That means under no circumstance, it doesn't matter what happens, it cannot fail. God's promises can never fail. And He has promised you with all that He is, all of His being, that He will not fail you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He Himself has said. We need to understand that He is the answer to all of our concerns. All of our problems, all of our trials, every situation that we get ourselves into, He is the answer. When we don't know, when we run out of all the answers, His omniscience, His all-knowing is the answer. When we aren't strong enough, His omnipotence, His almighty power is the answer. When we're all alone, His omnipresence, the fact that He is everywhere, is the answer. No matter what our need, God has promised us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That is the promise of His promise. The problem is that too often when we sit down and open up this book, we just window shop. We skim over it. We might read it a little bit here and there. But we window shop. We browse through it. We pick up a nice catchphrase verse that we print out and we put it on our refrigerator or put on our wall or tape it to our dashboard in our car. But we just window shop. A husband said to his wife about window shopping, he says, "Why do you call it shopping when you don't ever buy anything?" She said back to her husband, "Why do you call it fishing when you never catch any fish?" Friend, we need to understand that this is the very Word of God. And when we read it, we need to digest it. We need to let it sink deep down inside of our soul and understand and take it for exactly what it said. He Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We have the promise of His promise. The last thing I want us to see this morning, and we also have the promise of His protection. Verse 6 So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We are to boldly proclaim, we're to go through life and boldly proclaim that Almighty God is our helper. Amen? God gives us that permission so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. No matter the enemy, great or mighty, the omnipotent Lord is our protector. Plain and simple. Say it with me. I will not fear. Let's say it together. I will not fear. Amen? Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. One of those over 300 references that God gives us. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We need to take that for what it says. Not just window shop that verse, not just say, oh, that sounds good, and stick it on our refrigerator. We need to let that sink deep down inside of us. We are not to be afraid. Why? Because God said, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Think back when you were a little boy or little girl. Think back when you were out walking alone. Maybe it was starting to get dark, or it was dark. There were many things that went through your mind that frightened you, wasn't there? But if you had your daddy that walked right next to you, you didn't fear a thing, did you? Didn't matter how dark it was, it didn't matter how late it was. If daddy was right next to you, you wouldn't fear a thing. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God Himself, is promising here. He said, I am with you, so don't be afraid. Fear not. Amen. That's His promise to us. There was an epitaph on a headstone in Westminster Abbey. The name on the headstone was actually worn out, but the epitaph still was there. The epitaph said about this person, it said, he feared man so little because he feared God so much. That's a great epitaph. We need to face each day with that same attitude, with the same confidence, with that same assurance. For God has promised, I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave you. I am glued to your side for eternity. Jesus is the anchor for our soul. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is our protector. I want to end with Psalm 27:1. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Friends, as we begin the start of a new year, we don't know what's going to come, but one thing's for sure, that we need to give Him all of our fears today, and we need to cling to His every promise.